Good afternoon, Wendy. How are you?
Hi, Vilma. I'm really well. First time for the year.
Yeah. Yes, it is. Well, you've been very busy.
We have been very, very busy.
So you've been keeping yourself busy. You're not avoiding me, of course, are you?
Oh, I actually was travelling. No, first opportunity, here I am.
Yeah, wonderful. Well, you know, there's a lot of talk at the moment with more houses going to be coming on the market, rents are going to go skyrocketing at the moment, and there's a lot of talk. So let's start off with the auction clearance and where are we now in 2006 and what happens so far when it comes to auctions? What is happening at the moment in the market?
Well, we are pretty early days in the year still. So the auction clearance rate was only 62% on the weekend. That was based on just over 1,300 auctions, which is a good pool of auctions. When we first started, the first auctions for the year, I think end of January, start of Feb, they were up around the 70% mark. So at the 62%, we are a bit into a buyer's market. And I am seeing, when talking to real estate agents and also just observing what's going on at the moment, the market is a little bit patchy. So I think we need to get a little further into the year to get a firm handle on exactly what's going on. Mm. But the Melbourne market for January was down 0.1%, and that's the third month of fall. So December was a fantastic time to be buying WeBought, to buy houses for clients. So I think we've just got to see what's going on as we head into 2026, but interest rates are on the way up.
Yes, they certainly are going to go up. But Wendy, with your experience, when interest rates go up, how does that affect rental properties?
So there's always many moving parts, and I've talked about this many times when we've chatted, Vilma, that real estate is not a single island, and it's like a game of Jenga. Mm. If you move one piece, then there's other unintended consequences on the other side of the board. So with interest rates going on up, also dovetail into that, we're in an election year, which is toward the end of the year. However, any time elections are happening, they can signify change, and people don't like change and they will do nothing. So we're going to have a mix of multiple things happening, and no market is ever the same year to year, no matter what's going up, interest rates going up, down, sideways, etc. So what I have seen is that in some cases for people that were looking to sell but were just hanging on, that 0.25% increase has tipped them over the edge. Mm. They go, right, we can't hold on anymore, we have to sell. And then you've got the interest rates were going down last year, the balance of the figures for many people who were renting were saying, okay, well, it makes better sense to be buying something.
Mm.
So, but the upshot of everything is all of these different policies and changes and the government dabbling around the edges on things, it seems to be that the renters get the raw end of the stick every single time.
Yes, well, there you go. So it's just amazing. Now, everyone's on their lips about the capital gains tax discount, and there are talks, of course, of the tax changes. And, you know, some people think that it will help to fix Australians' affordability crisis. Well, anyway, I beg to differ. So what is being proposed now in the marketplace?
Well, so it's been put forward by, it was the ACTU, the Australian Council of Trade Unions, have put it forward that they think that there needs to be a cut to the capital gains tax discount. So currently it's sitting 50%. So it means if you have an investment property and then you sell that asset, then any capital gain that you've made over the time that you've owned it, you get a 50% tax break. They're wanting that to be cut back to 25% because they say it favours landlords with multiple investment properties and they are blaming mum and dad investors. But the facts are, and this comes from the ATO data, so from the tax officer's data, is that 77 to 75% of property investors or landlords or owners of investment properties own just a single property. Now, the direct quote from the press release attributed to the president of the ACTU was that, quote, the capital gain tax has become one of the main mechanisms allowing the very rich to pay lower rates of tax by investing in the property market, quote unquote. And then, quote, the way the capital gains tax operates has become a tax avoidance scheme with most of the benefit going to the richest 1% of Australians, unquote. You're talking about the mums and dads who are 70 to 75% of the owners of these properties.
Mm.
So they're talking about that it's going to fix the affordability crisis and so forth. All it does is creates massive issues in the market where people no longer can afford these homes. They end up selling them.
Mm.
These homes are rented. Those renters then are displaced. The market has fewer homes to rent, and supply and demand dictates that the price goes up. The rentals increase, and they can't even find houses to rent.
Well, let me say this to you. I did hear on the grapevine by implementing such a tax that will ease up the housing market, and it will give a relief to a lot of people that are wanting to buy some homes. Well, you can't have it both ways, and it will affect the marketplace because, yes, there might be more homes because people have to sell. They don't have a choice. And then on the other hand, you've got people that wanting to buy homes to get in. So it's a bit of a catch, isn't it?
It's an absolute catch-22 because there's a quote that it's come from Maslow back in 1966, right? And it is, if you only have a hammer, everything looks like a nail. And it's the law of instrument, and it is a cognitive bias that describes an over-reliance on a familiar tool or mindset. So in this case, it's the landlords of the problem. So if we make it that they've got to sell all their houses, that frees up all the houses, and then the first-time buyers and the low-income people, they can all buy these houses. It doesn't work that way because one of the fundamental issues that home buyers have is not necessarily the serviceability of the home loan, which is them being able to pay the loan every month. It's the fact they don't have a deposit saved up.
Mm.
So then the government introduces all of these various schemes, you know, the 2%, the 5%, all the things like that. And by the nature of it, they cap the figures on how much can be borrowed. So at the moment, there's one going around that a cap of 950,000. And so it ends up in that bubble of the price point, pushing those house prices up, and we have seen that happen. So in the sub $1 million market, which is where a lot of first-time buyers are because that's where the affordability is, the home prices are increasing. And so it's not a pull one lever and it's going to fix the whole thing. So the obvious alternative here is that the government has to meet their housing target and look at building more social and affordable housing, and also they have a history of long-term failures of planning correctly and producing the supply of homes. Because what we're seeing here is that the government has relied on your mum and dad investor to provide pseudo-housing.
Mm. Well, there you go. And now we're looking at interest rates, which is not going to, rates now are starting to increase for the first time since November 23. So what has been the impact on the property market at this point?
So we are starting to see people take a pause from the buyer side. So they're reassessing because it might not sound much to be 0.25, but there are... The word on the grapevine is that there's going to be other increases happening through the year, and then that starts to have an effect because we, as I said, we're not doing this in isolation. It's not like it's an island of all you're looking at is the mortgage that you have to pay. You're also looking at insurances have gone through the roof, cost of utilities, putting fuel in your car, all these other food.
Mm.
I mean, you can't do without food. You can't do without heating your home, all these things, which have all gone up in price. Now, add on top of that, someone that has a mortgage that goes up just a little bit every month, well, that $50 a week, that can be a tipping point for many, many people. So this is why people are very cautious at the moment. And I've heard that various sectors of the job market aren't great. And so people are also dealing with that.
Yeah, it makes it very hard. And, I know that there's someone that I know that is in his 70, well, he's 70, and he's trying to find a place where to rent. And there's nothing under $400 to $500, nothing. And it's really, really tough. And, you know, when you think about it, $400 to $500 for one person, that's a lot of money.
A week, yeah.
Yes, a week. Might be good for the landlord, but that's a lot of money. But the poor landlords, they're choking as well.
And that's the thing. Mm. So everybody gets on and beats their drum, which is to their own benefit.
Yeah.
So this union, union body coming out saying, oh, we need to cut the capital gains tax benefit from 50 to 25% because all the rich people are getting richer. Well, 70 to 75% of the population would beg to differ with you who own just one investment property. Also, they're probably looking to have a home themselves that they're living in that they have expenses on as well.
Yeah. Well, we'll just see what pans out. As you know, we've been speaking over the years and, it's always very interesting because I think real estate, it's like the stock market, really goes up, down, medium way, and it's got its own, it has its own destiny and destination. So I think we're going to, I believe that we're going through another volatile period myself, and rentals are just going through the roof, and there's not enough rental properties because there's a lot of people out there going and looking at the same property, and the landlords are very particular when it comes putting someone in their home. Extremely, the criteria is quite high for some unknown reason. It's quite high. It's not just come in, here you go. They really need to know that you've got the money to back up and
pay. Why, Vilma, is because the laws have been changed to such a degree that unless a very specific and very limited reasons, you actually cannot get someone out of your property.
So
once you've put them in.
That's right. Well, that's been the case for a while over the years, but it's even more hard these days. And we all know the tenants have the right. And I just find that very hard to digest. And, these landlords would have it tough, and plus all the compliance that they have to do, whether it's on a yearly basis or every 2 years, they have to keep that property up to scratch. But then they don't have a say in their own property if there's a tenant that doesn't want to move.
That's right.
Oh,
that's exactly
tough.
Right.
Well, let's get on to something that people can perhaps get their teeth into, because there's nothing worse being naive. I was about to say ignorant, but I won't use that word. It's really hard when you're naive in the marketplace, whether you're a first home buyer or you're quite a savvy, because I do believe there's always something that we learn when it comes to educating ourselves. And now you've brought out a course, the Home Buying Secret course, and just brief us a little bit, because we are going to be running out of time, but just brief us a little bit about that course.
Yes, I've brought together my 30 years in real estate, which is this year, so I might have a party. So my Home Buying Secret course shows you everything you need to know when it comes to buying a home. And you can dive into the course at whatever point that you're at. So if you're looking, you've found the house of your dreams and you're looking to bid at auction, I show you how to prepare for that, how to do that. If you want to negotiate, I show you what to do, what to say, what not to say. If you're much earlier in the process and just not even sure how to find a property, I cover that, how to be an area expert. So it really is everything that you as a home buyer needs to know when it comes to getting yourself ready or coming to the pointy end of things, which is when you need to buy a home. So that's homebuyingsecrets.com.au. Yeah,
absolutely. And if you wish to, even have some more information, lovely Wendy Chamberlain is always happy to have a chat with you. And I'll give you the web address. It's, you can email her hi@chamberlainadvocates.com.au. chamberlainadvocates.com.au, or you can go to the web, chamberlainadvocates.com.au. And once again, you couldn't find anyone more honest in the industry and reliable. And 30 to 35 years is a hell of a long time. And if you don't know the ins and outs of that one, I could go further, but I won't. But if you don't know your ins and outs at this point, I can tell you something's wrong. But, yeah, so nice to chat to you, Wendy, today. And let's speak very, very soon, as I'd mentioned, podcaster, international best-selling author and speaker, and have done many radio shows and many television presentations as well. So this is a lady that certainly knows her stuff. I thank you for your time. You have a great afternoon, and let's talk very, very soon.
Thanks, Wilma. Always great to chat.
My pleasure. Bye for now.